You see, nothing is great until something changes. Nothing is great until a life is saved, a life is changed, a life is transformed. Otherwise, all these things means nothing at all. Hallelujah. God's word is so powerful, it will never pass away and it will never change. Forever and ever, it will be the same. Therefore, if only you can be sensitive to the spirit that is residing in you, it will radically transform your life. If God's word is pregnant in you this morning, God is going to birth something new. You bet a new revelation will explode in you. A new anointing, a fresh breakthrough. You will not go home the same way you came in. Hallelujah. You know what's the problem with people today? We have failed to discover who we are, and thus we find no movement in us. When we don't know God, we lose our identity. Life becomes mundane to most of us. Many people are sadly walking around without a purpose, without an aim, without a direction in life. When we are empty, listen to me this morning. When we are empty, the enemy, the devil, will find you. Because 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, he goes around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Only God can fill the emptiness of your life. You can find it nowhere else. And when you, whether you are a leader or a follower, I have come to tell you this morning something very, very significant. You have to discover who you are in the kingdom of God. Please believe me that you are not an accident in this world. You are not an accident in this place. Inside every one of you, there is a treasure, a special, specific gifting of leadership in you, buried in you, and nobody can deny it. Therefore, God has a specific call for each of each one of us in his kingdom to not only fit into the body, but also play an active role in the kingdom of God. The moment you succeed in discovering who you are, you will find your real you. The moment this happens, you will literally lose yourself. And it's not about you anymore. Your focus changes. It's all about God's agenda. It's all about God's mandate. It's all about God's purpose. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we call upon you to put an anointing upon your word and speak to us this morning, O God. Give you praise and glory. Our reference text this morning is taken from Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, not hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." And the Lord said unto him, "What is that in thy hand?" And he said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fell from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Put forth thy hand and take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. Hallelujah. This morning, I have just taken one aspect of the call of Moses, and I hope God will bring some new revelation very powerfully to us today. I sense in my spirit this morning, God is going to minister to each one of us very powerfully. Do you realize that sometimes God has to take us into the wilderness to teach us some valuable lessons and show us some things? Have you ever discovered that God will sometimes ask you to undertake certain tasks that is beyond your capacity to handle, and that will frighten you sometimes? How many of you have experienced that? I believe our pastor, Pastor Clarence, is a living testimony to us, okay? And often we would normally respond with a negative attitude, with fear under such circumstances. We would brush it aside often with denial and say, "I don't think that's really God's will for me. Go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. God is saying to Moses, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. One of the most significant things that we need to understand here is that God leads us into the wilderness, not to destroy you, but God puts us into the wilderness to empower you, to equip you, to mature you. So it is therefore vitally important for us to understand that the wilderness is an important place of God's preparation for each one of us. If we are to move forward and undertake the task of God. Again, God often leads us into the wilderness to do the stripping process. The stripping process. He wants to detoxify you from all the pollution the world has been contaminating you, that you have become so limited in your ability to move forward or undertake anything for God. God often wants to empty you first from all the weaknesses of the flesh before you can come to the place of a useful vessel for Him. So, although the wilderness is a place of crushing and breaking, a process, nevertheless, it's a process of God forming His character in you in the wilderness. Are you connecting to what I'm saying so far? Therefore, please listen to me carefully this morning. Any significant ministry that God has called you to undertake has to go through the preparation process. Proverbs 20:30 says, sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. In other words, you need to go through the valley experience before you can reach the mountaintop. If you want to make any headway for God, if you want to flow in the purposes and plan of God, you need to understand that the kingdom of God is not a smooth sailing journey. You need to go through the valley experience before you can get to the mountaintop. It's a testing ground of your call. It's a very, very lonely place. It's a very painful place. When you go into the wilderness, you go alone. Nobody will come with you. It's a very individual thing. Nobody will be there to support you. It can be very confusing sometimes, very complicating sometimes. It's a place where the devil attacks you and tries you with all kinds of temptation. Here is a crucial point that you need to be aware of. The lack of understanding of God's purpose in this journey can land you into a lot of trouble. You remember Jesus himself was led into the wilderness. Was he in the will of God? Of course he was in the will of God. When he went into the wilderness, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. But when he came out of the wilderness, he was empowered with the Holy Spirit to do great exploits for God. Jesus started his ministry only after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he came out of the wilderness after the testing, and when he was empowered with the Holy Spirit, then his ministry started. So the prerequisite of being a useful vessel for God, a useful and effective servant of God, must go through the wilderness first. The trials and the crushing and the breaking must take place before God can form his character in you. Hallelujah. All of us went into the wilderness. Okay. You see, Jesus was only able to minister with power and authority until he came out of the wilderness empowered by the Holy Spirit. So there's a difference, you know, being filled with the Holy Spirit and being empowered by the Holy Spirit. I got no time to go into it. Okay. The anointing to do exploits for God, to anointing for signs and wonders to follow, only will come when you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Why? Jesus obeyed the Father all the time. We have a problem of obeying. That's the whole thing. This is the reason why several men of God with great potential backslide, fall away, and go into different paths. Hallelujah. Because of a lack of understanding when they went into the wilderness. And number two, they miss out on the most significant aim and purpose of God in their lives about their call. You see, we have got it all wrong. We are deceived into thinking if God has called us, life should be sailing on a bed of roses. Okay? No. That's not what life is all about. In ministry, in the journey with God, life is full of trials. Listen to me, for every call, for every ministry, there will be at least one wilderness that you must go through. Sometimes there will be several wildernesses that you have to go through. It depends on your makeup, okay? Moses made one massive mistake and he was banished in the wilderness. Because God did not talk to Moses. God did not appear to him for 40 years. He thought God had abandoned him. God had forgotten him. We understand that Moses had spent 40 years, to be precise, in the wilderness, looking after another man's sheep in the desert. 40 years of wilderness life, 40 years of no word from God, has made this man to lose his composure, to lose his composition. Everything seemed to have died and gone away. Every dignity and royalty which Moses knew in the palaces of Pharaoh was now covered in the dust of the desert, in the dust of low self-esteem, guilt, and contamination. Everything seems to have gone wrong with Moses. He was literally lost, so to speak. You know what? How many of you believe that life is full of seasons? Are you excited about seasons? But seasons will not last. After autumn comes winter. After winter comes spring, and then summer. If you go to places like UK and all that, you can see the faces of people when it's winter. Everybody will cover themselves, walk fast. But when the sun is shining, even strangers will wish you, strangers will talk to you. But the moment the cloud changes, everybody will go away. The scenario is very drastic, okay? You see, your circumstances will not be the same all the time. Then it was just an ordinary day. It was just an ordinary morning. God suddenly appears to Moses in a burning bush. Suddenly Moses hears the awesome voice of God. And it literally blew his analytical mind. Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. God called unto him out of the midst of the burning bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. You know what? You feel like screaming your head off. 40 years you have not heard the voice of God. 40 years the heavens were shut. And suddenly God comes to you and talks to you. You know, 40 years. Then suddenly a miracle began to happen in your life. Is God talking to somebody today? Okay? Moses could not believe what he was seeing and experiencing. Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. Come now, God says to Moses, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. The same man who led sheep yesterday. Now God comes to him and tells him to go to Egypt and deliver his people from bondage. You bet, a new Moses was born. I believe this was the most crucial and significant moment in the life of Moses. Let's see how Moses responded. How did he react? Moses was already 80 years when he had this encounter with God. You know what? I want to tell you this morning, when you stay in a place longer than you ought to be there, you will refuse to move out of the place. Is that a human nature? Exodus 3:11. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? His reply to God was, it can't be true. I'm not fit to go. I am nobody. I don't have the capacity to speak and convince these people. I won't be recognized. You don't mean me, God. You must be mistaken about me. Moses obviously was suffering from a wilderness mentality of low self-esteem. Can't make it mentality. A negative mentality. Unwilling to face any challenges anymore. The Bible says Moses became contented in an uncomfortable place. The desert was an extremely uncomfortable place compared to the palaces that Moses was brought up. Yet he was unwilling to face any challenges in his life anymore. Can you believe it? You know why? Listen, church, when you are left in a place to rot for too long, you will become desensitized. You will become blinded. You will become out of focus and you become out of balance and you will lose your way. Even the most uncomfortable place becomes comfortable for you. Are you listening to me this morning? Hallelujah. This is exactly what is happening to Moses. In fact, Moses was literally struggling to reconnect himself to his original destiny, to his original roots. Can you imagine 40 years in the desert has apparently demonized this man? It seems he has lost himself, lost his identity. Can you believe it? A scientist, a mathematician, an architect, empire builder for the Pharaoh Ramses, behaving this way, reacting in this manner. You know why? Moses had a history of past failure in his life. The fear of failure literally crippled him from moving forward anymore. You know what I like to tell you this morning? Past mistakes, past failures, if it's not dealt with constructively, is not addressed seriously, will make you dysfunctional and will hinder your walk with God. I have discovered throughout my ministry, unfortunately, many people are unable to move forward in an intimate relationship with God because they are unable to leave their past behind. They carry the past baggage with them all the time and never attempt to deal with it, with past disappointments, past failures, past sins, past hurts and rejections. I have come to tell you this morning, your past no longer has any power over you because of what Jesus accomplished for you on the cross of Calvary. If God is speaking to you, you must give a round of applause for him. Listen to me, church. God wants you to know one thing. Your past no longer has any power over your life. Your past will not determine your future. Your past will not define your future. You have a past, well and good. Everybody has a past. But you know something? You don't have to stay there. You don't have to rot in that place. It's not what you went through in your life that matters, but it's what you're going to go through with God in the future that makes all the difference. Hallelujah. It's not your starting point. It's not how well you ran in the beginning. It's how well you will finish the race with Jesus holding your future in his hands. Is there some revelation that I bring to you? Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That is what God's desire for each one of us here. I don't care what your circumstances are. You grab onto this word. You stand on the promises of this word. And you get a breakthrough. You notice that Moses tries to escape from God's call. Therefore, he devises several ways of trying to convince God that he was the wrong choice. He was the wrong candidate. I want you to pay particular attention to this powerful revelation that God is going to bring to you this morning. For the first few objections that Moses brings forth to God, God comes and encourages and reassures him. You notice God deals with him very gently, very reassuringly, encouraging him. In Exodus chapter 3:14-15. Firstly, he said, I will be with you. You can tell them, I am who I am. The one who made a covenant commitment to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will go with you. My presence will go with you to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. I will sustain you. I will strengthen you. I will teach you what to say. Be not afraid. I am commissioning you for the task. So God literally demolished his arguments and told Moses that despite his feelings of inadequacy, despite his feelings of low self-esteem, despite his fears of failure, the all-sufficient God, the covenant-keeping God, is committed to see to it that Moses will fulfill the task that God has put upon him. So, no. But when you come to the fourth chapter, which I've got no time to read, probably you can go back and read the chapter. Notice that the Lord no longer affirms Moses with an assurance anymore. He changes his approach. I believe he must have also changed his tone. He asked him a simple question. Moses, what is that you're holding in your hand? Wait a minute, Moses. I see you so dependent on something. What is that you are holding in your hand that is giving you so much of confidence, that is giving you so much of courage, so much of boldness? What is that that is sustaining you, Moses, that you have to give me all this crap and all these excuses? I believe God deals with every one of us in the same manner. First gently, kindly, with great patience, compassion, and mercy. Then when he sees your focus and your interest is elsewhere, he begins to deal with you differently. The very first thing he does is that he depletes you of all your earthly desires. Things of the world that you are so focused on, he will take it away from you and see how you react. He will strip you of everything that you have built around your life that is sustaining you until you surrender. What was the problem with Moses? Holding on to something that you have built around your life instead of holding on to your Maker who is in control of your life. Here's a powerful revelation. Now, it is significant that in Moses' hand was a shepherd's staff. And this shepherd's staff signified the life of Moses that he lived. A solid and powerful weapon, so to speak. In actual fact, the real shepherd staff in those days was a very solid and powerful weapon in the hands of a shepherd. A good, skillful shepherd with one little blow can kill a lion or a bear. Just like how David did to protect his sheep. And this staff is therefore the most significant and powerful weapon for a shepherd. God asked Moses a simple question as he noticed Moses leaning heavily onto the staff. Moses, what is in your hand? He replied, a staff. God commanded him to throw it down. Exodus chapter 4, verse 2. And as Moses threw it to the ground, it turned into a snake. And the very sight of the snake petrified Moses. Moses began to run from it frantically. Whatever happened to Moses? I am absolutely sure while Moses was in the desert for 40 years, he would have come across so many different kinds of snakes that he would have killed in order to protect his sheep. But now, the sight of one snake as petrified him and put so much of fear in him. Can you imagine what fear can do to you? Fear can cripple you. Fear can paralyze you. Fear can make you lose your mind. But you know why? The staff that Moses relied and depended so much as his weapon, his shield, and his support and protection is no longer in his hands. It is no longer available to him. It is thrown to the ground. God said to Moses, Moses, don't run. Pick up the snake by the tail. It was a command. Moses had a choice, either to run away into the desert and continue to take care of somebody else's sheep, or to obey God and pick up the snake and lead the people of God out of bondage. You know what God was saying to Moses? Moses, You no longer have your staff. You no longer can deal with this situation in the natural way. You no longer can deal with this situation with your own wisdom and your own strength. It's not by might, it's not by power, it is by my spirit. God said to Moses, Moses, if I'm going to move you on in my purpose and my plan, as you let the staff go, you've got to trust me and my word totally and absolutely. Come on, Moses, he said. You pick up the snake by the tail. Yes, it may sound ridiculous. It may sound illogical to your analytical human mind. Yes, it's absolutely contrary to human understanding to pick up the snake by the tail. The human skill of picking up a snake is not by the tail, because if you do that, the snake will whip around and sting you. Moses, if ever you are going to move forward with me, you need to trust me totally and absolutely, irrespective of your logical reasoning, irrespective of your analytical mind, because my ways are different from your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, declares the Lord. Isaiah 55 verse 8. I can take the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Moses, you got to let it go. You got to go you out of your reasoning. Out of your reasoning mind, you got to let it go. As Moses obeyed the Lord and reached down and picked up the snake by the tail, instead of a snake in his hand, it became a rod, a staff. Isn't our God an awesome God? You know, you would discover as you read the following chapters of Exodus, the staff that Moses picked up was never again called the staff of Moses. It was called the rod of God. As Moses was willing to trust God, despite his frightening mind, despite his limited human wisdom, the thing that he depended upon so heavily, as he let it go and trusted God totally to pick it up again, God did an amazing miracle. Never forget that our God is a miracle working God. What he picked up was not what he threw down. He threw down the staff of Moses. The Bible says he picked up the rod of God. You know what? This rod became the most significant thing in his ministry. Remember, that which was his, until he was prepared to let it go, could not become that which God could use. Are you getting it? Hallelujah. I want to tell you very seriously this morning, if you don't let it go this morning, you will stay where you are. Is God speaking to someone today? Listen, I can sense in my spirit this morning, there is a shifting in this atmosphere. That God is taking place right now. You bet a new season is breaking forth for some of you. You have been struggling in the valley for so long. You have been going through pains and hurts for so long. You have been discouraged and disappointed for so long. But this morning, God is shifting you out of your wilderness season. It's a new season. It's a season of change for you. It's a season of the anointing. It's a season of a breakthrough. Hallelujah. It's a supernatural season. I am moving you to stand on the mountaintop, says the Lord. Hallelujah. God said to Moses, I'm going to move you on in my mandate and out of the wilderness. And unless I strip away all that you have built around your life, that you have become so dependent upon, I can never use you as a man of God. You see, my friend, when God wants to use you and move you in His purposes, He has to bring you and I to a complete and total dependence upon Him. Question: what are you holding in your hand this morning? What is it that you have built around your life that it has become so? What is it that you're holding in your hand that you have become so engrossed? You have become so dependent upon that you refuse to let it go. Listen, if you refuse to let it go this morning, you will remain where you are. You will stay there. You will rot there in ministry. I want to tell you today, if you don't throw it to the ground and let it go, you have nothing left. Hallelujah. Moses threw it to the ground, and God used him to lead the people of God out of bondage into the promised land. Stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. You know what? While I was preparing to speak to you, God spoke to me and He said, there are people that you're going to minister who are holding things in their hands. They are hopeless and helpless. But God said, I'm going to come to them as I came to Moses. I'm going to lift them up from where they are. I'm going to set them free from the bondages they are in, helpless and hopeless. I want to speak to them powerfully and tell them that they don't have to stay in that place in misery. They don't have to rot in the place. I did not invest my own son's life for them to stay in that kind of low self-esteem. What is that that you are holding in your hand this morning? Is it some kind of habit? Is it some kind of grudge? Is it some kind of offense? Some kind of unforgiveness, bitterness that is keeping you at the same level for years and years? And God says, today He's going to move you to a different season. He's going to break through for you. As He came to Moses, one encounter that day at the burning bush changed the entire life of Moses. Yesterday, he was looking after somebody's sheep. Today, God changed his life and he went to stand before Pharaoh, the king, in a most advanced nation, Egypt. And he said, let my people go. Look at that vast difference when you step into the anointing this morning. No matter what your circumstances are, no matter how heavily it has been bringing you down, weighing you down, God is going to do a supernatural miracle. I'm going to open the altar this morning for prayer this morning. We have got all our pastors here to lay hands on you and anoint you in anointing oil and pray for you. You bet there's going to be a new season that is going to dawn on you. Hallelujah.